it's a bit of a tense time for U.S. foreign policy. Aside from a potential regime change in Venezuela and trade negotiations with China, the Trump administration is keeping close tabs on the militaries of Iran and North Korea. Last weekend, Pyongyang conducted what it called a strike drill that involved the launch of several rockets and a short-range missile. Then the U.S. accused Iran of making threats against American forces and our allies and announced it would send an aircraft carrier and bombers to the Persian Gulf. Iran is now saying it's ready to do away with parts of the 2015 nuclear deal and resume higher uranium enrichment. So how concerned should the U.S. be about these situations, and how might the Trump administration respond? Matthew Kranig is an associate professor in the Department of Government and the Edmund A. Walsh School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University. He's also a senior fellow in the Brent Scowcroft Center on International Security at the Atlantic Council, and he served in the U.S. Department of Defense and the intelligence community. He's also written several books, including The Logic of American Nuclear Strategy. Matthew, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
Let's start with North Korea. This was their first launch since November 2017 when they fired an intercontinental ballistic missile. It came less than 3 months since President Trump met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to discuss denuclearization. Is this a significant setback?
It's something of a setback, and I think it's helpful to put it in a little bit of a broader context. We're trying to denuclearize North Korea. That's been a longstanding goal of the United States and our allies. The Trump administration put in place this maximum pressure and engagement campaign to try to increase the pressure on North Korea to force them to the table to negotiate. We basically got that. They came to the table to negotiate as part of the reduction of tensions in the negotiation. They stopped testing missiles. They stopped conducting nuclear tests. We stopped increasing the level of our sanctions pressure. But then those negotiations have stalled out, and I think both sides are a little frustrated and impatient. And so I think these tests are North Korea trying to ramp up the pressure again on the Trump administration and the international community to try to get us to make some more concessions in these negotiations.
President Trump downplayed the test, saying he thinks Kim understands the economic potential of North Korea and won't do anything to mess it up. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said on Sunday that the incident doesn't change America's approach to North Korea.
We still have every intention of negotiating a good resolution with North Korea to get them to denuclearize. We've known it would be a long path. We've known it wouldn't be straightforward.
What do you make of the Trump administration's response?
Well, we're on this engagement track now. The hope is to get a deal where North Korea agrees to reverse the program. So the alternative to that would be giving up on engagement, you know, turning back to the maximum pressure campaign, more sanctions, more threats of fire and fury. And so I think the administration right now is not letting these tests get in the way of their diplomatic approach. They want to give this a little bit more time to work. So I think it's understandable, although I'm somewhat skeptical that we're going to get much more progress here. I'm guessing that at some point we will have to return to the pressure track if we maintain this goal of denuclearization.
Well, and the Justice Department said today that the U.S. seized a North Korean cargo ship that's long been used to transport Russian coal to North Korea. That's apparently a violation of international sanctions. Does that signify a changing approach?
Yes, I think the United States there is showing that we have options to turn up the heat a little bit as well. Sanctions we have against North Korea are the most comprehensive we've ever been able to achieve. Just in the past year or so, new UN sanctions, new U.S. secondary sanctions. So the economic pressure is building, but North Korea, Russia, China, others have been evading the sanctions through some of these illegal shipments. And so what the United States did today was something we've been threatening to do for a while, which is to seize the ships that are engaged in these illegal transfers. So that would be one way we could increase the economic pressure on North Korea still further, not just in enforcing the sanctions, but also going after those who are looking to evade sanctions.
We're talking with Matthew Kranig right now. He's an associate professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University, also senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. And we were talking about security threats coming from both Iran and North Korea. And speaking specifically about the nuclear threat that North Korea might pose to the U.S. or to our allies that are geographically closer, how serious a threat do you feel that is?
It is a serious threat. According to some estimates, they have dozens of nuclear warheads already. They have ballistic missiles capable of delivering these nuclear weapons in Asia. So two U.S. allies, U.S. bases, U.S. forces in the region are already vulnerable. And they've been working on longer range missiles, including an intercontinental ballistic missile that could reach the United States. Experts disagree on whether they're there yet or not. Some think they already have the ability to deliver nuclear weapons to the United States. My own view is that they're close, but not quite there yet. But the trend lines are clearly in the wrong direction. So North Korea could become only the third U.S. adversary after Russia and China with the ability to threaten nuclear war against the United States. So it is a serious threat, and there's good reason why it's one of the foremost foreign policy priorities of the Trump administration.
Now, the administration in South Korea says that President Trump supports their humanitarian efforts to help feed the people of North Korea. They hope that that will be additional incentive for North Korea to come back to the negotiating table for denuclearization. Do you see that as a potentially effective approach?
So the engagement track, you know, it's much more than just the nuclear program. That's an important part of it. But the United States and North Korea and South Korea are still technically at war. There was a ceasefire after the end of the Korean War, but no peace deal. The North Koreans and the South Koreans both have a lot of forces on the demilitarized zone. And so part of this engagement track of offering a brighter future to North Korea is to promise a lot of other things, a peace treaty, maybe a positive security or negative security assurance from the United States, demobilizing the DMZ, promise of economic aid, humanitarian aid from South Korea. So some of those efforts have begun as part of this engagement track, but there is a lot more that we could offer contingent on North Korea making more progress on denuclearization.
China is also a big player in this issue and in that part of the world. Do you see any impact from the current U.S.-China trade talks and disagreements that could affect the situation in North Korea?
So far, I think there have been somewhat separate issues. The problem we face with China and North Korea is that I think that China shares our basic goal, that they would prefer that North Korea not have nuclear weapons, not have a missile program. The problem is for China, it's a much lower priority. For us, when it comes to North Korea policy, the nuclear and missile program is priority 1, 2, and 3. For China, it's something like priority number 4. They want stability on the Korean Peninsula. They're afraid that if North Korea collapses, that they could face refugees. There could be a unified Korea with U.S. forces right on their border, aligned with the United States. And so their foremost goal is really stability on the Korean Peninsula. And so they're not really willing to get very tough with North Korea. They're not willing to enforce the kind of tough sanctions we would like to see, because they're afraid that if they get too tough, it could lead to North Korea collapsing, which in their view is even worse than North Korea with nuclear weapons.
And let's go to the phone, and Dennis in Two Rivers is up. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I figured this thing could escalate because with China being an ally of North Korea and being against anybody doing business with Taiwan, well, what if the U.S. sends something to Taiwan and the Chinese figure, hey, let's just seize that. Let's just sanction the U.S. and take their ships. So it could escalate.
Thanks for that call, Dennis. And
yeah, I think there is a risk of escalation. And the Chinese have said that if there's a conflict on the Korean Peninsula, that the United States starts or that South Korea starts. China has said that it would live up to its defense commitments and defend North Korea. They've also said, though, that if North Korea is the aggressor, that it's on its own. China has already talked about its willingness to get involved. Some Chinese military experts have argued that China's changed the way it's doing its military exercises to plan for a Korea contingency. The other possibility of a U.S.-China conflict over this would be that if North Korea does collapse, the United States and South Korea would likely try to move north to secure nuclear and missile facilities. China would likely move south on the Korean Peninsula to do the same thing, and also for border security to prevent refugees from flowing across. And so you could have the possibility of Chinese forces moving south, American and Korean forces moving north, and there's a risk for conflict there as well. So there is the possibility of this escalating into, not a high probability, but it's at least possible that it could lead into a bigger regional conflict.
We're talking about the recent security threats from North Korea, and we will move on to Iran soon with Matthew Kranig. He's an associate professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University and a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Which do you think is the bigger threat, North Korea or Iran? How would you like to see the Trump administration deal with it? And do you trust the president to handle those issues, or do you fear they'll only get worse? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our discussion of how the U.S. is approaching recent security concerns from Iran and North Korea with Matthew Kranig. He's an associate professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University and a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. Join in at 800-642-1234. What should the U.S. do about North Korea's rocket launches? What about Iran's nuclear weapons program? How concerned are you about those situations? And what questions do you have about the U.S.'s position towards those countries? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones and line and talk to Matt in Johnson Creek. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I would just like to ask your guests, I think people focus too much on the nuclear threat, which is real, but if that problem is solved, North Korea still holds tons and tons and tons of chemical weapons. And I would just like to get your guest's take on that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for that call, Matt. And Matthew?
Yes, North Korea presents a number of challenges to the United States and our allies. It's the nuclear and missile program. It's chemical weapons, as your guest points out. We believe they have biological weapons. They also have a large military, a lot of conventional hardware massed on the border. So just with conventional artillery, they could do a lot of damage to South Korea. In addition to that, they've been known to transfer sensitive nuclear and missile technology around the world, including building a sensitive nuclear reactor in Syria, and gross human rights violations domestically. Some of the things going on in North Korea, work camps and famines, just as bad as things that have happened in the totalitarian states in the 20th century. So many challenges there. And so because of that, in the negotiations, the international community is saying that the goal is not just the nuclear program, but it's the nuclear program, the missile program, the chemical weapons, and the biological weapons. So we've set a pretty big set of objectives for ourselves. And if we could accomplish that, that would be great. But even if we do, other challenges would remain, including the domestic governance issues. So yes, big challenges. Your guest is, the caller is absolutely right.
Thanks for that call, Matt. And Matthew, let's turn now to the situation in Iran. According to the Trump administration, Iran has been making threats against the U.S. and American allies. The administration hasn't said exactly what those threats are, just that an Iranian official gave the okay for groups backed by Tehran to attack the U.S. military. And the U.S. responded by moving an aircraft carrier and several bombers into the area. How concerned should we be with what seems to be an escalation with Iran?
Well, this is another serious challenge. Unlike North Korea, Iran doesn't currently have nuclear weapons, but they do have a nuclear program, a uranium enrichment program, that if they decided to move full steam ahead, they could build nuclear weapons in about a year or so is the best estimate. They also have a ballistic missile program, working on longer range missiles. And so they already have the ability to hold most of the Middle East at risk with these ballistic missiles, and again, working on longer range missiles. And then they also have ties to terror and proxy groups throughout the region. So Iran is a major challenge to U.S. security interests in the region. You know, I don't have any insight on this threat, but it seems like there was some kind of specific intelligence of an Iranian threat against U.S. forces. Otherwise, you wouldn't have seen such a large and coordinated U.S. government response to try to deter that.
And Iran says that it's going to walk away from restrictions of the 2015 nuclear deal. What specific provisions are they saying that they're no longer going to comply with?
Yes, well, this is a kind of a tailored response from the Iranians. So as you and your callers likely know, the Trump administration decided to pull out of the Iran nuclear agreement exactly 1 year ago. And Iran, up until this point, has complied with the key provisions of the deal. And just earlier this week, they announced that they're going to stop complying with some provisions, but not others. So they're not pulling out of the deal altogether. They're not racing toward a nuclear weapons capability, but they're kind of cranking up the pressure. And I think the target here is actually Europe, that they're hoping that Europe can save the deal. So the Iranians have said that they're going to stop complying with some small number of provisions now, but that within 60 days, if they don't get significant economic benefits, then they'll start to do more. So I think this is really a threat to Europe. Try to save this deal, or else we'll ramp up our nuclear program even further.
We're talking with Matthew Koenig of Georgetown University and also the Atlantic Council about current tensions between the U.S. and Iran and also with North Korea. And in return for Iran withdrawing from that 2015 nuclear deal, the Trump administration is imposing new sanctions on that country's steel, aluminum, iron, and copper sectors. The U.S. says that Iran's industrial metals industries make up about 10% of its exports. How much might these sanctions hurt Iran? How big a move is this?
Yes. Well, again, to put it in a bit of a bigger context, you know, the United States does have something of a kind of bipartisan playbook for dealing with regional powers pursuing nuclear programs, kind of a pressure and engagement approach. So as long as the countries are taking steps we don't like, try to increase the economic, political, and military pressure on them, but then hold out the hope for engagement if they're willing to come to the table and talk. So when the Trump administration pulled out of the deal about a year ago, they announced a kind of engagement and pressure strategy. And so this is part of the pressure strategy. The Trump administration has been increasing economic pressure on Iran. And the sanctions have been more effective than I think many people expected. So the Iranian economy is hurting. And so really now the Trump administration is going after, you know, some of the last remaining pieces, the kind of low-hanging fruit of Iranian oil and gas. The Trump administration has been sanctioning trade with Europe and Asia. The Trump administration has already been threatening to sanction. So this is becoming a pretty comprehensive sanctions regime against Iran.
Caller John in Madison said that as far as he knows, the intelligence on the Iran threat came from Israel intelligence. Is that what you have heard as well, Matthew?
I haven't heard that, but that's plausible. The Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, one of the best in the world. And, you know, for them, this is a top priority. They see the Iran nuclear program as potentially an existential threat, where the United States, you know, we have to focus on a lot of problems around the world. So I don't have any inside information on that, but that is possible.
Matthew, as we start to wrap up, while all of this is going on with North Korea and Iran, there's also Venezuela, the tariff wars with China. How difficult is it for an administration, for the Foreign Service, the diplomatic corps, to try to juggle all of these things at once?
Well, there is a lot on their plate. And, you know, what's interesting is the National Security Strategy published in 2017 by the Trump administration. Said that the foremost national security threat to the United States and our allies is the return of great power competition with Russia and China. So I think many in the national security community are focused on some of those issues, the way that the balance of power has really shifted. Questions about whether the United States can continue to defend longstanding allies in Eastern Europe and East Asia. So our strategy documents say that those are the priorities, yet we keep getting drawn into these other smaller but pressing conflicts, Venezuela, North Korea, Iran. So I think it's a case of the urgent crowding out the important to some degree, but certainly certainly a lot of challenges facing the Trump administration and the United States and our allies at the moment.
And Matthew, with our last 30 seconds, what are you going to be watching for in the next weeks and months regarding U.S. foreign policy, especially with Iran and North Korea?
Well, I think the one with the where there could be real change is Iran. You know, North Korea already has nuclear weapons, so we're going to continue to work on that. But I don't expect any major breakthroughs in the near term. With Iran, things could get much worse. Iran has made this threat to ramp up its nuclear program if it doesn't get relief in the next 60 days. And if it does that, then, you know, we'll have a pretty serious crisis on our hands. We'll have to raise tough questions about how we address this advancing nuclear program.
Well, Matthew, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Matthew Koenig is an associate professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University and a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. He's also the author of several books, including The Logic of American Nuclear Strategy. We talked with him about the escalating situations in both Iran and North Korea and the Trump administration's handling of them.